Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. If all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for being here tonight. I can feel your presence among us. And your Father, we just ask that you would help us, O God, to look into the mirror of thy word and to see where we stand. And to help us, Lord, to recognize your word for what it is, the blood of your Son, Jesus, how it is most powerful, and how your name itself is the name above all names. And there's power in that name. Be with us tonight as we study that word, Father, and as we close out this sermon of Brother Branham's, this being the 65th sermon in our series, and we'll be reading, Father, from the last two paragraphs. We just pray that you'd anoint your words tonight. And Father, I pray also that you'd help us to know what sermon to search first, or for our next series. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to pick up at paragraph 131. There's only 132 in the series, so we're going to look at 131 and 132 tonight. Now, how many got quickening power? Now, lay hands upon one another, and if that quickening power is in you, now there's only one thing to keep it from hindering, and that's your unbelief. A woman touched his garment and was made whole. A woman's soldier spit in his face and went to hell. See? So it depends on where you're at. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Now, I want you to bow your head and pray for one another. Just pray right out. Just say, Lord, this person, see, just pray one for the other. Dear God, we do this in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name given among men whereby that we could be saved or healed. These people who are fellow citizens of the kingdom are possessor of quickening power. Quicken it to them, Lord, just now. And may the Spirit go from eagle to eagle, from word to word, till the fullness of Jesus Christ be made manifest in each of the bodies, for physical, spiritual, or any need that they have need of, as we lay our hands upon one another in Jesus Christ's name. Now in the book of Acts, we read from Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I take that scripture from what Brother Branham was referring to here, the only name given among men whereby that we could be saved or healed. And so we find for our text there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Now in order to understand this scripture, we must understand what scriptural salvation entails. What does it mean? Neither is there salvation in any other. Now the Greek word that was translated into the English word salvation is a Greek word soteria, which it's a noun, and it means to rescue, or it means safety, and it is used for both physically and morally. It also means to deliver, because it also speaks of health, and is translated as salvation, save, and saving. We see an example of the name of Jesus applied for the power to heal in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So not only is it it is through his name, but it's the faith of that name. You see, that's your key right there. Your faith operates that name. Now notice it was not only the name, but faith in the name that brought about the healing of this man in question. And never forget that the name of Jesus is first the name of the Father, and then through the inheritance, that same name was given to his son. In Hebrews 1 and 4, we read, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Again, we see in John 5 and 43 that Jesus himself said that he came in his Father's name. John 5 and 43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, him will you receive. Now, this not only is important to understand that, but notice he also lets us know that the men will despise the name of the Father, for they will not have, they'll have more respect for someone who comes in their own name. But Jesus tells us himself that all the power and miracles that he did were done in the name of his Father, as we see in John 10 and verse 25. Jesus answering them said, I told you and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So notice Jesus himself used the name of his Father. And the miracles were done, and the healing was done in the name of his Father. In fact, God's prophet said in a sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, now look, when he was here on earth, how many know that that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that it was Christ, the angel of the covenant? All right? And how many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus, that same spirit? Now look, when they questioned him, St. John 6, calling your attention to it, they said, you say you're greater than Abraham. And he said, why, you're only 50 years old yet. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am was in the burning bush. Is that right? A pillar of fire. When he was here on earth, he said, I came from God, and I go back to God. Did he say it? And then if he came from the pillar of fire, he returned back to it again after his death, burial, and resurrection. St. Paul was on his road down to Damascus, and a big light struck in his face and blinded him. And none of the rest of them saw it. Now Paul saw it. It blinded him. He fell on the ground, but what is this pillar of fire again? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Is that right? And from God's only provided place of worship, Brother Rafferty, now a son always comes in his Father's name, any son. He comes in his Father's name. And Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. Then what is the name of the Father? But what is the name of the Son? And he said, a little while and the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me. He's come in the form of the Holy Ghost, the same Jesus. That was the reason they was worshiping. Oh, Jesus. See, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Again, from his sermon, God's only provided a place of worship, Brother Branham said. And now we find out that Jesus said also, I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus. That's right. The name of the Father is Jesus. Because Jesus said to them, I carry my Father's name. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then his name was Jesus, and Gabriel called him Jesus. The prophets called him Jesus, and he was absolutely Jesus. Before his birth, even the holy prophet called his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then God was manifested in the flesh in order to take away the sin of the world. And in doing so, he was given the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the name. And the name was placed in a man. Not a church, not a denomination, not a creed, but a man. He chose to place his name in Jesus Christ. Now, we find out that then he becomes the place of God's worship, where you worship him. Ever before that he was even born, his name was called Jesus. It was so important, it was given to his mother by the angel Gabriel, that his name would be called Jesus. Son of God is what he was. Now, from God's only provided place of worship, again, Brother Branson, but we must find where he did put his name. For in it is his only provided gate. Amen. Glory. Now watch. Where did he put his name? In his Son. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Brown. That was the Son, not the Father. The Son always takes the name of his Father in every case. I come to this earth in the name of a Branham, because my Father was a Branham. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. You wanting a scripture on it? St. John 5:43. I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. And he's the way, he's the door, he's the house. He's where God chose to put his name. God never puts his name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic. But he put it in Christ the Anointed, Emmanuel. So when people pray in Brother Branham's name, they're not going to get results. It's a guarantee. And not only that, but the Son of God's whole purpose in life was to declare the name of his Father, showing us the significance of that name. In John 17:26, Jesus says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now notice, God showed his life for his firstborn son by placing his name in that firstborn son. In fact, this was so important that the prophet David prophesied that the firstborn son of God would come to declare the name of the Father. Excuse me. In Psalm 22:22 we read, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And we see by declaring the name, we declare the person himself, because names have meanings, and the name declares who we are. Now, Brother Graham said in his sermon, Why Little Bethlehem? He said, words, names, they have meaning. Many people don't believe that, but that's true. If names don't have some meaning, why did Abram's name change to Abraham? Why did Sarai's name change to Sarah? Why does Saul have to be changed to Paul? Why does Simon have to be changed to Peter? See, all of these has meanings. Everything has meanings. And from approach to God, he said, that's my approach, he said. That's the way I'm asking you to approach me. I am your satisfier. Do you believe it? He said, amen. I am the one that will satisfy you as you draw from me a life. Abraham, you're 100 years old, but you're just a baby to me. See, well, he said, well, look at my flesh, how wrinkled up it is. My hair is gray and my shoulders are stooped. But I am the life giver. Amen. That's it, Abraham. Do you see it? Abraham believed God then because he had an approach through a symbol, through a name. So have we an approach through the name? So have we an approach through a name, and that is Jesus. What does Jesus mean to us? Savior. Amen. El Shaddai to Abraham, satisfier, strong one, salvation giver, strength giver. That same thing that El Shaddai was to Abraham, Jesus is to the believer. Oh my, doesn't it just get you carried away with it? Again, Brother Brown said in a sermon, who do you say that this is? He said, everything in the Bible has a meaning. Every name has a meaning. There's nothing written in the Scripture but has a profound meaning. That's why I don't like a lot of these new names that people are naming their children. They think, well, that sounds nice. Find out the meaning. Like Brother Bram said, if it means Ricky, it means rat. If it means Elvis, it means cat. You know, there's a lot of names. Like Jacob means supplanter, deceiver. You know, you don't want to name your children names that have a detriment to them. Brother Bram also said in a sermon, as I was with Moses, he said, now, he had to divide the lands, and there were 12 tribes to divide it by. Now, what if he has to pick? What if he has to pick some pets? And what if he had pick? You know, pick some pets. What if he liked the tribe of Gad better than he liked the tribe of say Ephraim, or the tribe of Joseph better than he did Joshua or Judah? But he didn't do it that way. He divided according to the word revealed by the Spirit. He divided according to the tribe. And notice, he done it by the revelation, by discernment, by the discernment of God's Spirit. He did it. Each one of those Hebrew mothers giving birth to those babies called their name, and each name, and each one of their names has a meaning. Jacob, when he was born, being a twin, she called him supplanter, Jacob. But when he got his overcoming power and wrestled with the angel, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, a prince. The name has something to do with your life. When Peter, a fisherman, had overcome by his faith in Jesus, he said, your name is Simon, but I'm going to call you Peter, which is Little Rock. It changes you. Your name has something to do with it and your placement in life. Therefore, Jesus said in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So you're going to ask, how did Jesus declare Jesus? Well, Jesus, there's seven compound redemptive names that make up the attributes and characteristics of the name Jesus. And when Jesus, the Son of God, declared Jesus the Father, all of those redemptive blessings were actually expressed through the man Jesus. So we're going to, because he's saying names have meanings, okay? So he says, excuse me, that's what Brother Brown said. It changes you. Your name has something to do with it and your placement in this life. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we hear the same thing spoken of the Son of God, Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. So you're talking about a declaration of the name, which is a declaration of the attributes of who you are. Years ago, I worked for Fuji Tech, and one of the managers there, he asked me, he said, why do Americans name their children such funny names?
And I said, well, I said, Christians don't. I said, Christians are very specific. I said, we look at biblical names and we look at the meaning of names. And he said, you know, that's the way we do in Japan. He said, we look at, you know, at a child of their, and its personality and spirit when the child is born, and based on that, we give them their name. You see, so now it's just this Western civilization that's gone away from our Christian heritage, and they name children all kinds of strange names because Hollywood uses them. Well, you better know where they're from, because some of them might be demonic names. All right. So, in verse 9 we see, he says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, Son talking to the Father. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil. In other words, the Son of God became flesh and blood so that he could identify with the other sons. All right. And how did Jesus declare the name of his Father? John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now remember, Jesus came to declare the Father's name, and in doing so, he showed forth the power in that name. Also remember that Jesus said he was one with the Father because the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments were in him. Well, in 1 John we see, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, the Word. Because the Word was life. And we've seen him, we've handled him, you know, all those things. Well, now how in the world do you handle a word? I mean, we say words are something that comes out of your mouth. But actually, the Word became flesh. In other words, the name was manifested through the flesh of the firstborn son. All the attributes, all the characteristics, and we'll get into that in just a moment here, that are God, were manifested in his son. In Acts 4:12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the word salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequences. So there is neither is there any salvation, neither is there any deliverance from sin and its consequences in any other name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. It also means preservation or deliverance from harm, from ruin, or loss. Therefore, there is no salvation for sin and its consequences outside of the name of Jesus. And there is no deliverance from harm, and there is no healing outside of the name of Jesus. Now, therefore, the only way for you to enjoy the benefits of salvation is for you to enter into that name. And you cannot enter into that name if you do not understand what that name is and what it means. Brother Bosworth said in his book, Christ the Healer, he said, we must know what the benefits of Calvary are before we can appropriate them by faith. Otherwise, you know, it's like people say, well, we just have to believe. You got to know what you're believing. He also said in Christ the Healer, if you want to receive life and healing from God, take time to find the words of Scripture that promises those results. And again, he said from Christ the Healer, faith for the appropriation of God's promises, promised blessings, is the result of knowing and acting on God's word. That's Romans 10:17. You see, you've got to know. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bibles daily, is to know, not just to gloss over. For you to be included in healing in the name of Jesus, you must first understand the power that is in that name. Therefore, what is there to know concerning the name of Jesus? Number one, it is the name of the Father, and all the seven compound redemptive names of God are found in the name of Jesus. Notice Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, Exodus 15, Psalm 103.
Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. We're going to get into that in just a minute. That's Exodus 17. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. That's Judges 6 and Psalms 22. Jehovah Reah, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 and 6. And Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Or the Lord's presence. Therefore, as Christians, we can expect every attribute that is God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we ask for our provision. In the name of Jesus, we are healed. In the name of Jesus is our banner. The banner is something that identifies and unifies a particular group of people. For example, a military flag or standard is sometimes called a banner. And we hold up the name of Jesus as we are holding up Jehovah Nissi. The name of Jesus brings peace that surpasses all understanding. And in the name of Jesus, we have our chief shepherd. And in the name of Jesus, we have our righteousness. And in the name of Jesus, He is present. In fact, in the name of Jesus is where God's only provided place of worship lays, and there you will always find the presence of the Lord. You see, the Perugia has nothing to do with William Branham or the name of Branham. It has all to do with the name of Jesus. Jehovah, Shammah, the Lord who is present. In other words, Jesus. Okay, we find all those attributes in Jesus. That is the beauty of the presence doctrine. It is not in the name of Branham, it is in the name of Jesus. That is why so many are confused in this hour. They think this message is all about William Branham, but he had no more to do with it than nothing. Yeah. He was just a voice even against his better judgment. He is not the one who appeared down on the river. He was only standing there when God appeared. Listen, there was, 500 other people standing there. All right? Plus the ones who was baptizing. And God placed his name in Jesus. Therefore, when I think of Perugia, I think of only one name, and that is Jesus. And that is why we have rest when the seventh seal brings him back to earth, because it brings down his presence, and he is our peace. So we see every attribute that expresses the Father was declared by the Son of God when he declared the Father's name to men. And what's interesting is Brother Bell was the only one. Actually, he wasn't the only one. Brother Bell himself told me that Brother Douglas McHugh back in the 60s began preaching, about 67, began preaching on the appearing and the coming, where Brother Branham said, now he's appearing with us. And Brother Bell took that into the Greek and went into and showed us Perugia back in 77. And notice, our focus then went off of a prophet, per se, the man, and it went to the God who was using the man. As Brother Bell said, always get your eyes off the vessel and get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. You see, that's Jehovah Shammah, or that's Jesus. All right. Now, from God's only place of worship, he said, now to back it up, we could take the entire Bible to back up what I'm going to say. For the place that he chose is in Christ, in Jesus Christ. It is in him, his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you said, I thought the scripture reads here that he said he would choose the place and he would put his name in that place. Why, the Son always takes the name, the Father's name. My name is Branham because my father was a Branham. And Jesus said he came in his father's name. St. John 5:43, I come in my father's name and you receive me not. Therefore, there's where God placed his name under the sacrifice of his own Son. That's God's only provided place there. There is where people can meet God is in Christ. That is his provided place, no denomination, no creed, no nothing else. God's promised to meet. Only in Jesus will he meet, for that's the only place where he has placed his name. He didn't place it in William Branham. William Branham's name is William Branham. He is not Jesus. But remember, the bride takes on the name of the group. All right. But that's when we have to be so identified with it. Now, we'll get to that later. Now, from trying to do God a service, he said, well, then, in them days, they had only one meeting place where they could meet God, and that was at the ark under the blood. That's the only meeting place yet under the blood. The mercy seat was sprinkled to give mercy to the worshiper or to the asker when he come to ask the petition of God. And God had a special routine, the way that you had to go about that, and he wouldn't accept anything else. He wouldn't accept any other provision, just the way that he fixed it. Now, recently, I just preached out a message, many of you know about it, that only one provided place that God meets the worshiper, the place that he said, I'll put my name. If we can find a church that he will put his name in, then we got the place. Well, he said, I will not bless you in all the gates, just the gates that I put my name in. I'll put you in one place, and you've got to meet me there, and that's the only place that I'll meet you. And we found out through there where he put his name, and that's the only place where he meets the worshiper, and his name was Jesus Christ. God's name is Jesus Christ. Now, as Christians, we take on the name of Jesus when we are baptized into his name, and we are risen with him to life eternal through his name. And we are sitting together in heavenly places with him, bearing his name. Number two, his name identifies who we are as Christians, and thus gives us our identity, as we see in Acts 11:26, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Number three, knowing the power and importance of the name, we hold the name above every other name. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11 tells us, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the name of Jesus then is above any name that we may have for diseases or sickness. You say cancer, whoa. No, Jesus! You say, what? Hey, that's pretty bad. Jesus! And any name that is given, name the name of Jesus, because it's above that name. Yeah. Hallelujah. And all names and all things and all creatures, high and low, it doesn't matter if they're man, doesn't matter if they're a little insect, doesn't matter if they're a disease, they have to bow at the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus then is above any name that we may have for diseases or sickness. Now remember, he said, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases. Therefore, the name of any disease or sickness is below the name of Jesus and must give way to it. How many times do we see in scriptures when the name of Jesus is pronounced, demons flee, cripples walk, the blind see, the deaf are healed? Number four, Jesus promised us that all we ask and seek of God must come through his name. In John 16:23, we read, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, the rest of the problem is we don't ask enough. In fact, the name of Jesus is the key to understanding John 14:12, because we find our answer of John 14:12 in verses 13 and 14. So let's just read 12 first, we'll go on to 13 and 14. Notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, now remember, his name is above all other names, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask, shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So it's all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus carries in it every attribute and characteristics that is God. In Mark 16:17-18, we read, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And in my name they will drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. And in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All in the name of Jesus. Therefore, whatever Jesus himself could do in person, the power in his name will do it when you use it. And whatever God himself can do, you can do it in the name of Jesus also. Therefore, the third pole must be in the name of Jesus. And all heaven and earth are subject to that name. And since we are identified with his name, and we know the word identified means to become one with, then we express that name in everything that we think, we say, and we do. That's why we're told and commanded, actually, in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We read also in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks also for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are even conformed to the image of the firstborn Son through the powerful power of his name. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we all speak the same thing. Well, how are you going to speak the same thing if you don't have the same mind? So he goes on and says, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind. And how are you going to have the same mind? Except you have the mind of Christ. And in the same judgment. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. How is that? You say the same thing, you think the same thing, you do the same thing. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to do what Jesus did. Amen? John 14:12. Live like he lived. Talk like he talked. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And again, Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you and all the house and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Again, healed how? Through the name. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Even death. In the name of Jesus Christ, come back. Lazarus, come back. See? Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Number 6. Satan understands the power of the name of Jesus, and he knows also he must submit to that name, and he trembles at the name of Jesus. We find in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. Acts 9:34, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise, and make thy bed, and he arose immediately. Notice, Jesus Christ, he's using the name of Jesus, see? Matthew 8:28-29. And behold, they shrieked and screamed, what have you to do with us, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the appointed time? Now notice, these are demons that were trembling at the presence of Jesus, and they still do it today. Acts 16:18. And she did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. Notice the name of Jesus. Paul called out that devil out of that woman. Number 7, the name of Jesus is our refuge. Now notice, Jehovah, he's the great tower. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong, what's the name of the Lord? Jesus. And what is the name of the Lord? Jesus. See? Number 8, faith in his name is what gives us access to the power of his name. In Acts 3:16 we read, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is in him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now notice, faith through the name of Jesus. Now, Brother said in Christ the Healer, he said, praying for healing with the faith-destroying words, if it be thy will, is not planting the seed, it's destroying the seed. How many people say, well, I'm going to pray for this person, they're sick. Lord, if it be your will, you're destroying. Right there, you're destroying that seed. You know what? It's the same thing as, well, I better unearth that seed and check what it is. Every time you unearth that seed, it'll never get sprouting roots. You got to leave it go, just in the name of Jesus. See? Again, he said, faith for the appropriation of God's promised blessings is the result of knowing and acting on God's word. Remember, Brother Matt said, hearing, recognizing, and then acting. You've got to step into it. And again, he said, when your eyes are upon your symptoms and your mind is occupied with them more than with God's word, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest that you desire. You have in the ground seeds of doubt. You are trying to raise one kind of crop from another kind of seed. It is impossible to sow tares and reap wheat. Your symptoms may point you to death, but God's word points you to life. And that's why he said, don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. Therefore, if you call the name of Jesus with a double-mindedness, which is wavering between faith and doubt, you cannot expect to release the power in the name. The Apostle James said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And remember, how are we to ask? He said, Ask the Father anything in my name. That's John 14:13. So we are to ask in the name of Jesus. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, let there be no vacillating back and forth. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Only, well, I mean, look, you can't have faith in doubt working, or you can't have faith in doubt, you know, working together. They're combative. All right. Number 9. Only those who have been baptized into his name and have risen with him are capable of using his name with power. In Acts 19:13-17 we read, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So you better make sure that if you're going to use that name, that you're identified with that name, because the word identified means you become the same as. Remember, we grow up into him in all things. Paul said, as many as are baptized into Christ have taken on Christ, or put on Christ. All right? So many fakers have gone forth using the name of Jesus, and many of them have cracked up. But the eventual truth is that at the white throne, they will say, have we not done this in your name, and have we not done that in your name? And he will say, I depart from me, I never knew you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for the name of Jesus. The name which is your name, we know, and you gave that name to your firstborn son. And now we know that the whole family of heaven will be named Jesus, because by one spirit we're all baptized into one body. And we're thankful for that. And we ask you to bless that name in our midst. And may that power of that name be utilized and eulogized in the midst of your children. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask it. Amen. So let's sing that one song. It's All in the Name of Jesus. Let me just pull up the... Truth and beauty and happiness, it's all in the name of Jesus. Health and comfort, peace and rest, it's all in the name of Jesus. Joy and comfort, forgiveness too, and life everlasting and free. All that I've hoped for and all that I need, it's all in the name of Jesus. Jesus, he's here and he will show you the way. Jesus, Jesus, he's all that you need today. Care and
Welcome and pardon a hiding place. It's all in the name of Jesus. Warmth and sunshine, friendship and blessings unfold. Hope for tomorrow and help for today. It's all in the name of Jesus. He's here and He will show.